sins of mankind. Let's stand and sing. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. What a glorious promise. Let's praise the Lord.
I thank you that on this Good Friday, as we gather together for your tremendous sacrifice in our behalf, your love has washed our sin away. As we attempt in our minds, in our mind's eye, to see and to experience and to reflect and to meditate on all of what you have done for us, Lord Jesus, we pray that by your Spirit you will help us to enter into the cost and the sacrifice, the pain that you experienced, the ridicule. And I thank you that you chose to be the Lamb of God who could take away the sin of the world. And so we come before you this morning with gratitude in our hearts, realizing that it was through your death that we might have life, and that it was through your death and the acceptance of it that your resurrection took place and your ascension into heaven. And you're living today. We thank you for a living Savior. But we thank you that you chose to, as you said, to drink the cup of death for us. Thank you for doing that on our behalf today. We pray. Amen. Great to have each of you here today on Good Friday. It seems that this part of the country, it either rains or is cloudy and overcast on Good Friday. And often on Easter Sunday, it's shining and bright. So it's somewhat reflective of the day and the attitude. We wrestle with Good Friday sometimes in terms of thinking about the death of Christ, but we know the end of the story, and it makes quite a difference, doesn't it? Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, we are going to be having an Easter breakfast here at the church at 9:30. We invite all of you to come. And we're just hopeful that we'll have some kind of an idea of the numbers so that we'll be able to be ready for you. I made all that announcement last week only to find out that at the end of the week they'd slipped a little thing in the paper and all of you were supposed to put something in the offering basket related to whether you're coming or not. So I blew it, and they mentioned that to me afterwards. The service is 10:45. Invite your friends to come. Sometimes Easter time or Christmas is the only time that people will accept an invitation. Invite them to come that they can hear about the resurrection of Jesus. We don't have a Sunday evening service this Sunday. And on Thursday at noon, we have our joy group that are going to be meeting. Potluck luncheon. We have John and Joy Hamilton coming to be with us. Some of you know them very well. He was on the pastoral staff here many years ago. I'm not going to go into any other announcements. We'll give a few more on Sunday.
I will glory in the cross. my trophies and crowns, my robe stained with sin, was all that I had to lay at his feet. Unworthy to eat from the table of life, till love made provision for me. I will go.
I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Let's stand and praise the Lord once more.
is your love, that you would stretch your arms and go around the world. And why, for me, would a Savior's cry be heard? I don't know why you went where I was meant to go. I don't know why you loved me so. Those were my nails, that was my crown, that pierced your hands and your brow. Those were my thorns, those were my scorns, those were my tears that fell down. And just as you said, that you could see my need and choose to take my place. And then for me, those words I'd hear you say, Father, no, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I will go because I love them. Your hands and your brow, those were my thorns, those were my scorns, those were my tears that fell down. And just as you said it would be, you did it all for me. And after you counted the cost, you took my shame.
Wonderful to gather in the shadow of the cross today, to spend time, word and song, meditating on what that cross means for you and me today and our eternal future. And as we continue to meditate today, Pastor Barry and I are going to do a reading, a combination of scripture and a prepared meditation that I came across that spoke to me, and I want to share it with you at this time. So let's just allow ourselves to be drawn to the shadow of the cross, both in Scripture and then the reflections as we think of what that means for us.
Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. "What you're about to do, do quickly," Jesus told him. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had the charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night.
Ah, Judas, who knows why you chose to do what you did? And centuries of Christians and non-Christians have sat in judgment over you ever since. I don't judge you. I see in you a part of myself. I too have betrayed others, myself, and even my Lord. The only difference between you and me, Judas, is that I believe my God forgives even this sin. Ah, Judas, who knows why you chose to do what you did?
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him and began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
No one? Would no one wait with you? Was there no one who could put off his need for sleep for just a few hours more? But Lord, it was your struggle, and they didn't seem to understand. Only you knew. Only you could feel the pain and the grief and the fear. There was no other way. Lord, when I feel like no one understands me, help me to remember your unshared vigil.
While he was still speaking, Judas arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said.
"My Lord, what loneliness. I don't think I could do what you did, Jesus. I don't think I'd have the courage to look my friends in the face, knowing they would leave me in the lurch, and still do what I needed to do. Forgive me, Lord. I still don't believe that you are that strongly within me. Forgive and give me courage. Then your loneliness and the disciples' desertion will not go on and on in my life and the lives of others like the refrain of a bad song that echoes in my mind. Let the desertion stop with me, please. Let it stop with me."
The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this man-made temple, and in 3 days will build another not made by man.'" Yet even then their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to give an answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer.
"It wasn't enough. Not enough that you should be utterly deserted. Your humiliation wasn't finished with that. The desertion wasn't completed until it had been twisted into the grotesque. Your desertion became utter betrayal, and then it turned into lies. I've been betrayed. I too have been the victim of lies. But in my anger, in the heat of my pain and fury, I've lashed and thrashed about, often harming those who are innocent. Your silence shames me, Lord. Bury my sin in your silence, Lord, please."
Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again.
"Silently you bore the betrayal and the lies, yet it wasn't finished. Still before you were the taunts and jeers and sneers of the soldiers. They must have thought this great sport to mock another human being when defenseless. Lord, I hear in the taunts the rejection and mockery of all who are different. I see in their eyes the searing inflammation of all who hate. I recognize in them the bigots and bullies of this world who tyrannize the meek with threats and force. Blessed are the meek. You have become one of them, haven't you, Lord? Help me to meet you in the meek ones I know, and in the meek hours I live. And help me to remember that in your quiet meekness, you were stronger than them all. Even in death, you are the victor."
Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom.
Now your task is finished. Now your silence is complete. Now, deluded by its easy victory, seduced by its love of power and your gentle passing, death boasts. And how wide the distance must have seemed to those who stood afar off and helplessly watched. Let death gloat. Let the quiet remain. But only until that for which you died is accomplished. Lord, in the quiet of my own death, in the helplessness I feel in the deaths of others, help me remember your death and the hollowness of death's apparent victory.
The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Lord, today your agony and death touch the deepest places of our hearts. But the only reason we're here is because your death wasn't the end. Beyond the cross, you entered into glory. Not only do we look forward to celebrating your resurrection on Sunday, but we also crave the reality of your second coming. We rest in justice, ultimate justice, being brought to the human race so that evil can be punished and true Christ righteousness raised to its rightful place. Then we will share your glory. As we remember your death in this Good Friday communion, may our hearts beat with the hope of Easter Sunday resurrection. Amen. Friends, we're going to move to a time of quiet meditation and coming forward for communion. I'm going to ask those who are assisting in serving communion to come to their stations at this place, and I will continue to give instructions as we move to those locations. We have three serving stations across the front of the auditorium this morning, and we're going to ask you today to come forward and to take the communion yourself as you feel ready to do that. We're going to be having some music as we wait before God. We're going to have some special music from the Ladies' Chorale and some congregational singing. We're going to take our time with it. As you are able, you can come at the head of each of these aisles. I'm going to invite you to take the bread first as you feel moved by the Lord, and then consume that, and then take the cup beside there, consume that, and then put the empty cup in the receptacle that's provided. If you would prefer, if your worship this morning would be more meaningful, if you took those emblems and returned to your seat with them and just consumed them as you prayed before God and worshiped in your own time, please feel free to do that. We want you to be able to follow the impulse of God's Spirit on your heart this morning. For those who find it difficult to get up and come forward, we have servers at the back who are going to respond to you. So if you choose not to come forward and want to remain where you are, feel free to do that, and they will come to you. They want to do that. They're ready to serve you in that. We're in the shadow of the cross. The cross this morning is draped with black. We look forward to Easter Sunday, and you'll see it draped with white on Easter Sunday. But today, we take the emblems of the Lord's death in the shadow of the cross. Why is the cross so important? Why does it get so much attention? Why do we talk about an instrument of death so much? Because we've all sinned. We're all in the same category this morning. We're all sinners. Not one of us has not sinned. All of us are dependent on someone who was perfect, giving himself as a sacrifice, because every sin demands divine justice. And we were in the place, each and every one of us, where The only divine justice would have been our death, our spiritual death, our eternal death. But God sent his Son to step in that place before us so that even today in 2006, we would have this opportunity to pause in worship in the shadow of the cross, understanding the end of that Easter story, knowing that Jesus is going to come again to bring the day of the Lord when we'll rejoice in him and when those who haven't responded to Jesus face judgment. And so today again, as always in our worship, we want you to know that the place of responding to the cross is open, that now is the hour, now is the time, and that you today can believe and you can reach out and just ask the Lord to apply that sacrifice to your sins, to wash your sins, and to come in and give you new life in Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate in this Easter weekend, new life in Jesus Christ. And it is for everyone who will respond in belief. And so, in communion, there's no requirement for church membership or having signed a card or anything like that. But the Lord's table is open to all who believe. And if you have been struggling with God, if you have never crossed that line of faith and said, Lord, I believe, come into my life and cleanse me of my sin, you can do that even now, where you're sitting, in the quiet moments. He hears your inner voice. And as that is the only requirement that Jesus has for his table, if you pray that prayer even this morning, please take communion. If you haven't taken that step of faith, based on the instruction of God's word, we invite you to be an observer this morning and to just meditate before God as others take part in the communion. We trust that today this will be a solemn celebration as we reflect on the significance of Jesus going all the way to the cross and there taking our place. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. We thank you for the reality of the cross of Calvary. Thank you that you died in our place there, and that is available to everyone who will believe. Praise you for that, Heavenly Father. And though Good Friday is a solemn occasion as we focus on the sacrifice and the death of Jesus Christ, we can't ignore that we know the end of the story. And so it's a solemn joyfulness. But Lord, may we not lose the reality of the price you paid. And through a Good Friday time of worship, may we again be solemnized within our lives that you died there for me. Bless the emblems of communion, the representation of the broken body of Jesus Christ, the representation of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And as people come and take part, Lord, may your presence with us be profound. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In just a few moments, the chorale is going to begin to sing. But as the music plays, we invite you to come forward. We need some to be the first ones to come. And so we invite you to do that if you feel ready to come. But come while the ladies are singing. And then there will be times of music background and some more congregational singing until we're all finished. But this is your time in meditation, in prayer, to worship, and in coming and receiving the emblems. May God bless you as you worship this morning.
Precious blood.
shadows o'er me.
Sitting in the auditorium that would appreciate being served, as you see servers there, just raise your hand and they'll respond to you.
Thank you.
is there anyone else who would like to be served and the servers haven't found you yet? Just indicate with a raised hand. Let's pray. Lord, the shadow of the cross is powerful this morning. There is so much that you went through in those hours for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord Jesus, incarnate God, Creator, Savior, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you that you left us this memorial with the bread and the juice that we could come that close, that tangibly close to being with you in your death. Thank you more than that, Lord, more than a physical touch. The reality of your death comes within us. And from that death is cleansing, is renewal, is the ransom that bought us from the clutches of sin into a new life here on this earth and heaven ahead of us. And Lord, because you went through this as our pioneer through death to the glorified life, Lord, we say to you again this morning, we want to follow you all the way. We honor you and worship you. In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
Father, we thank you for
every benefit, every blessing that you have brought into our lives. We ask now, Father, that your blessing will reign over our worship this morning, that your presence will go with us by your Spirit, and that your love will fill our hearts as we share your good news throughout this Easter weekend. And Lord, as we gather again on Easter morning, may we come with that full sense of your presence and the joy that Jesus is alive. He's alive in me. He's alive in our congregation. He's alive forever and ever. Glory to his name. Amen.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. How wonderful, how marvelous. Let's sing.
Father, we thank you that we've been able to be in your presence today. Dismiss us with the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to your eternal glory. Amen.